Hello and welcome to the podcast. Today's podcast, I want to talk just for a few minutes about the mass UFO sighting that took place over Chicago O'Hare Airport back on November 7th, 2006. This is kind of an interesting case, and it's a case study in how even in an innocuous case where nobody was abducted or there was no kind of property damage or no cattle mutilations, nothing like that. People just do not want to report what they've seen. And then when it does come out, someone does report anonymously and the press investigates, the government and the corporate people just stonewall it. So what happened was back, it seems to have been around 4:15 or 4:30 in the afternoon, somewhere between six and a half a dozen United Airline employees spotted what they described as a metal saucer-shaped unidentified flying object approximately 1,500 feet above the ground near gate C-17 at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago, which happens to be the busiest airport in the world. And last year, I think it said that it sent through 102 million passengers went through that airport with just under 900,000 flights. This is a very busy place. And what happened was some of the United ground crew, they spotted this UFO and they were naturally concerned about it. And reports started going into the air traffic control tower. And you can watch the interview on History Channel with that particular manager in charge of the tower that day. And you can also listen to John Hicklevich. He was a guy from the Chicago Tribune that initially reported on this and did the first article that came out in the Chicago Tribune in January of 2007. At any rate, the control tower gets wind that there is an unidentified object above the airport. And they start calling around, and it turns out while he's on the radio calling out to see if anybody's seen it, the air traffic control guy, he states on the History Channel that none of the pilots had spotted anything, but a United employee who was taxiing a 777 back to the maintenance, he gets on the radio and says, yeah, I'm looking at this thing, it's above gate C-17, and a bunch of us have seen it. So I think that's where a little bit of the confusion comes in at, is that you had a maintenance guy taxiing the airplane, the 777, back to the maintenance area. And some of the reports on it report that it was a pilot that had spotted it. But as Hilkovich points out in his NPR interview, which you can listen to, it's like a 3.5-minute interview on the site, no pilots came forward. These are just all anonymous employees. Nobody wanted to be named in this. So what he came up with is between 6 and 12 people, 6 that he talked to, they witnessed a metallic saucer approximately 22 feet across. Some said 6 feet, some said 24 feet, but around 20 feet in diameter at approximately 1,500 feet above the airport. And it hovered up there for anywhere from 5 minutes to 18 minutes, depending on who you talk to. So after which, this thing goes straight up through the clouds. And as it went up through the clouds, it left a large circular column in the middle of the clouds. This is an overcast day. If you can imagine, it's November. There's a heavy cloud cover. And below this heavy cloud cover, where this UFO has been sitting at, people are watching it. And then all of a sudden, after about 20 minutes, this thing takes off. And it goes straight up. And they can see it go straight up. And as it goes straight up, it leaves a hole right through the clouds. Now, on the History Channel documentary, they talked to a physicist, and he estimated that to burn away that much cloud cover, because they went back and they, through the weather reports, found that there was like a 2-mile-high blanket of clouds over the airport that day. He said it would have taken 100,000 megawatts, I believe, to burn through that. Anyway, to put that in perspective, he said that if you have a 777 flying, just flat out, just under the speed of sound, and these things weigh like, 400,000 pounds fully loaded, he said that that airplane will burn up like 60 of these megawatts, whereas the UFO would have taken 100 megawatts to put the hole through the clouds that it did. So you have an object here that's 22 foot wide that's putting out almost twice as much energy as a fully loaded 777. That's pretty impressive when you think about it. So anyway, it was witnessed by everybody. But the strange thing about this case, I think, is that, you know, trying to investigate a UFO sighting sometimes is like trying to investigate a murder in a gang-infested neighborhood. Nobody wants to talk. And that's how it was in Chicago. Not a single person would come forward and say, yes, I was there, I saw the UFO, and then give specifics on it. There were, you know, somewhere between 6 and 12 people that made anonymous reports, but those people can't be questioned, and it takes away all the empirical reporting that we need to figure out what's going on with these things. The only person that really came forward was the guy who was in charge of the air traffic control tower that day, and you can go on to the website, ufowarning.com, and you'll see a little clip there from the History Channel where they interview this guy. And they ask him flat out, did you see anything? No, he didn't see anything. He was very opposed to the idea of a UFO, I mean, to say the least. And they pointed out to him that their engineers had looked at diagrams of the air traffic control tower, and they said, look, with that overhanging roof, those air traffic controllers could not have looked up at the right angle to have even been able to see the UFO where it was at. And they asked him about this, and he just said, no, that's not true. Didn't offer a reason why it wasn't true. And you can look at yourself and see that this air traffic control tower has overhanging windows. Well, why does this guy just automatically refute something with no proof? And it was as if the people interviewing him, you know, he was put out there to be the authority, like skeptics are so often in these situations. And then nobody cross-examines him. It's just, he said it wasn't true, so it's not true. You know, between 6 and 12 people on the ground came forward and said, yes, we saw this thing. But until somebody has enough courage to come forward and say, this is my name, this is who I am, this is where I was at, and this is what I saw, and you can believe it or not believe it. Until people have that kind of courage in their beliefs, until they stand up and just be a person and say what they saw, then the skeptics are always going to rule the day. You know, because nobody wants to cross-examine the skeptic as long as somebody's not there to say, I saw it. So unfortunately, in the Chicago case, nobody would come forward and put their name or their reputation on the line. They were perfectly comfortable talking about it to a Tribune reporter off the record, but they didn't want to be made fun of or laughed at, so nobody would put their name behind it. But overall, it's an extremely interesting case. You have to say something did happen. Explanations that the skeptics offer really don't make sense. But I would encourage you to go ahead and look into this a little bit further. And it has a lot. There's a lot there for us to learn from it. And like I said, go to the site, ufowarning.com. Check out the links. They're really fascinating. That's all for today, folks. Over and out.